Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Money Illusion Market Monetarism, The Great Recession, and The Future of Monetary Policy is a nonfiction economics book by Scott Sumner that explains his market monetarist approach to monetary policy and uses it to reinterpret the Great Recession, rather than focusing on finance, housing, or banking as the primary causes of the 2008 to 2009 downturn. The book argues that the central problem was a collapse in nominal spending and a failure of monetary policy to stabilize the path of aggregate demand. Sumner combines theory, policy critique, and macroeconomic history into a single framework aimed at readers who want to understand how money, expectations, and interest rates interact. The book is designed to be accessible to non-specialists while still engaging for economists, and it functions both as an introduction to market monetarism and as an argument for nominal GDP-level targeting as a better policy rule. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, market monetarism as a framework for stable nominal spending. A central theme of the book is Sumner's defense of market monetarism, the view that monetary policy should be judged by its effect on nominal spending rather than by short-term interest rates alone. The book argues that central banks often misread policy stance because falling rates can reflect deteriorating economic conditions, not easier money. In this framework, the important target is the level and growth path of nominal GDP, since stable nominal spending makes it easier for firms, households, and investors to plan. Sumner presents this as more than a technical alternative to conventional central banking. It is a different way of thinking about what money policy is supposed to stabilize. The argument also gives markets a larger informational role, since asset prices, expectations, and related indicators can reveal whether policy is too tight or too loose. This makes the book distinctive because it shifts attention away from the usual focus on the policy rate and toward broader market signals and aggregate nominal outcomes. Secondly, why the Great Recession is explained as a monetary failure, not mainly a financial one. The book's most controversial argument is its reinterpretation of the Great Recession. Sumner maintains that the recession deepened because monetary policy was too tight, even after the Federal Reserve took visible actions such as cutting rates and expanding its balance sheet. In his account, those measures did not guarantee sufficient monetary stimulus, because what mattered was not the size of Fed intervention in isolation, but whether nominal spending was stabilized. This leads him to reject the idea that the crisis can be understood primarily as a banking panic or housing correction that simply spilled into the real economy. Instead, the collapse in aggregate nominal demand is treated as the key transmission mechanism behind falling output and rising unemployment. The book, therefore, challenges a large body of post-crisis commentary and asks readers to reconsider what counts as evidence of monetary ease. Its historical value lies in showing how a different monetary diagnosis produces a very different narrative of the same crisis. Thirdly, interest rates can mislead policymakers about the stance of money. Another important topic is Sumner's critique of interest rate-centered monetary analysis. The book argues that a central bank can reduce rates while still maintaining tight policy if the equilibrium or natural rate is falling even faster. This is the core of the money illusion in the title. Observers see lower rates and assume easier policy, when in fact, policy may still be restrictive relative to the economy's needs. Sumner uses this point to criticize standard macroeconomics that treats rate cuts as a reliable sign of accommodation. He contends that the policy rate is only one instrument, and not a sufficient indicator of the true stance of money. This matters especially in crises, when demand for safe assets rises and the natural rate can drop sharply. By emphasizing this mismatch between market signals and policy interpretation, the book gives readers a more nuanced tool for evaluating central bank actions. The practical implication is that policymakers should not congratulate themselves simply because nominal rates are low if nominal spending is still weakening. Fourthly, level targeting and nominal GDP targeting as the preferred policy rules. The book repeatedly returns to the case for level targeting, especially nominal GDP level targeting, as the best way to anchor expectations. Under a level target, the central bank commits not just to a growth rate in a given year, but to making up for past misses so the economy returns to a predetermined path. Sumner argues that this approach is superior because it stabilizes expectations about future income and spending, which can reduce the severity of recessions and improve recovery dynamics. The argument also addresses the zero lower bound, where conventional rate cuts lose power because short-term rates cannot fall much further. Sumner sees level targeting as a way to strengthen monetary policy when rates are near zero, because the commitment to future nominal growth can influence current behavior. This topic matters because it ties together theory and policy design. The book is not only diagnosing errors after the fact, but also proposing a rule that might prevent similar errors. It is one of the clearest examples of the book's practical orientation. Lastly, a broad introduction to monetary economics written for policy debate. Beyond its specific policy claims, The book serves as a structured introduction to monetary economics. Its early sections develop core ideas about the value of money, prices, expectations, and the transmission of monetary policy before turning to the Great Recession. That structure makes the book accessible to readers who may know the crisis, but not the theory behind Sumner's interpretation of it. The educational value is important because the book does not simply assert a conclusion, it builds the conceptual vocabulary needed to understand why nominal variables matter. At the same time, it is not a neutral textbook. Sumner writes as a critic of mainstream macroeconomic habits, especially the tendency to overinterpret interest rates and underuse market-based indicators. The result is a hybrid of primer and policy argument. For readers, that means the book can function both as an entry point into monetary economics and as a strong statement of a particular school of thought. This combination is a major reason it stands out in its category. In conclusion, The Money Illusion is best suited for readers who want to understand monetary policy in a more rigorous and market-oriented way, especially students of economics, policy analysts, central banking watchers, and general readers trying to make sense of the Great Recession. It is particularly useful for anyone who wants an explanation of why low interest rates do not necessarily mean easy money, and why nominal GDP matters so much in macroeconomic stabilization. The book also rewards readers interested in policy rules, expectation management, and the limitations of standard recession narratives. What makes it stand out from many books on the financial crisis is that it is not mainly a story about banks, traders, or political drama. Instead, it is a sustained case for a different monetary framework, built from theory and applied to a major historical event, that gives it a clearer analytic identity than many crisis books and makes it valuable both as an introduction to market monetarism and as a challenge to conventional macroeconomic. Readers finish with a sharper sense of how central banks should be evaluated and why the path of nominal spending can matter more than headline policy moves. If you would like to support Scott Sumner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.